Day 481, Thursday, August 1st. Psalm 84, Psalms 84 1-12 NKJV to the chief musician, on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they will still be praising you. Selah, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring, the rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah, O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Daily deep dive. The UCG reading plan states, as in the superscriptions of Psalms 8 and 81, Al-Giddith in the superscription of Psalm 84 denotes either a song of the winepress, or, as in the NKJV, one played on an instrument of Gath, Gittite being the adjective form of this Philistine city. Psalm 84, the first of the six psalms that make up the final group of Book 2, expresses yearning for fellowship with God, who dwells in his temple in Zion, and from alone comes security and blessing. References to God as Lord of Hosts or Lord Almighty Niv, and a prayer for our shield, the Lord's anointed form. Distinctive links with the final psalm of the group. For the former, see Psalm 84 1, Psalm 84 3, Psalm 84 8, Psalm 8 and Psalm 89. For the latter, see Psalm 84 9 and Psalm 918, Psalm 938, Psalm 951. The five psalms thus introduced, 85 to 89, are four cries out of distress arranged around a central song, Psalm 87, that celebrates God's special love of Zion and the care he has for all its citizens. Of these four, the first Psalm 85 and the last Psalm 89, are communal prayers, and the remaining two, Psalm 89-88, are prayers of individuals. They all make much of God's mercy and truth, NKJV, or love and faithfulness, NIV, see Psalm 85-10-11, Psalm 86-5, Psalm 85-10, Psalm 89-1-2, Psalm 89-5, Psalm 89-8, Psalm 914, Psalm 924, Psalm 928, Psalm 933, Psalm 949, and his saving help. See Psalm 85:4, Psalm 85:7, Psalm 85:9, Psalm 86:2, Psalm 84:88-1, Psalm and three of them share another key concept, righteousness. See Psalm 85:10-11, Psalm 5:13, Psalm 8:12, Psalm 9:14. Zondervan NIV Study Bible, note on Psalms 84-89. Of this final cluster of six psalms, four are labeled in the superscriptions as coming from the sons of Korah. Psalm 84, one of these Korahite psalms, is a prayer of longing for the house of the Lord. In tone and perspective, it stands close to Psalm 42, another Korahite psalm, and may reflect similar circumstances. If so, the author, presumably a Levite who normally functioned in the temple service, now barred from access to God's house perhaps during a time of national calamity, gives voice to his longing for the sweet nearness to God in his temple that he had known in the past. References to God in his temple and to the blessedness, CVV 4-5:12, of those having free access to both dominates the prayer and highlights its central themes, note on Psalm 84. In verses 1-2, the psalmist's unsatisfied longing leaves him faint, his whole being aching to be in God's presence. While this could be merely figurative, it could just as well be literal. Perhaps through long prayer, fasting, and mourning, he really was weak to the point of fainting. In verse 3, the psalmist is jealous of the small birds that have such unhindered access to the temple and the altar. They are able even to build their nests there for their young, the place where Israel was to have communion with God. Note on verse 3. These birds have found a home with God, which the psalmist himself desires. What a great blessing it is to have God's house as your home. Verse 4. We should recognize that the house of God in these verses is also representative today of God's church and, in an ultimate sense, of God's kingdom and family for all eternity. In verse 5, the words translated whose heart is set on pilgrimage literally mean, in whose hearts are the highways, that is the highways the Israelites took to observe the religious festivals at Jerusalem Zion. Verse 7, note on verse 5, The pilgrimage here is also figurative, that of following the pathway of return to God, and of pressing onward to his kingdom. On this journey, as we see in verse 6, even difficult circumstances represented by the valley of Baca or weeping will be washed over with God's blessings, symbolized by springs, rain, and pools. We should recall here Psalm 23, where God as our shepherd leads us through the valley of death darkness, verse 4, on the way to dwelling in his house forever, verse 6. The journeying pilgrims go from strength to strength, Psalm 84:7. The Nelson Study Bible comments, as one nears the temple, the rigors of the journey become tolerable. For the joy of the approaching arrival strengthens the soul, note on verses 57. Even so, as God's people today continue through life, they build character and rejoice more and more as the time draws ever closer when God's kingdom will be established on the earth. God's saints on their hopeful way to Zion experience anew the bountiful hand of God as their ancestors did on their way through the desert of Sinai to the promised land. See Psalm 78:15-16, Psalm 100. And as their descendants would on their return to Zion from Babylonian exile, see Isaiah 41:17-20, Isaiah 43:19-20, Isaiah 9:10, Zondervan. Note on Psalm 84:6, the return from Babylonian exile in the end time being the primary focus in these passages. Spiritual Israel, the church, follows the highway to God today. Physical Israel and the other nations on earth will follow at Christ's return. In verses 8-9, the phrases "our shield" and "your anointed" refer to the King of Israel. See Psalm 9:18. Why would this prayer for the king be included here by the psalmist? Only as God blesses the king in Jerusalem, perhaps in giving him victory against enemies preventing journey to the temple, will the psalmist once more realize his great desire to return to his accustomed service in the temple. Note on verses 8-11. Of course, in an ultimate sense, the figure of the anointed king looked forward to the future Messiah, whom God will send to establish his kingdom. The psalmist concludes that the privilege of spending a single day in God's house is better than 1,000 days anywhere else, verse 10. He moreover says that just being a doorkeeper, often considered to be a menial servant in God's house, is worth more than living presumably the life of luxury among the wicked, same verse. As a point of consistency, helping to validate the psalm's superscription, we should note that it was the Korahites who served as doorkeepers or gatekeepers at the tabernacle and temple, 1 Chronicles from 17 to 20, 1 Chronicles 26:1-19. This was in fact a trusted office, 1 Chronicles 9:22-26. Some reckon from Psalm 4:10 that the post of doorkeeper will be a position held by some of God's saints in his coming kingdom. Those on the bottom rung, it is derogatorily inferred. First of all, we should recognize that such a position of responsibility would not be a bad thing, as is commonly implied. Yet secondly, we are told that angels rather than glorified human beings will serve as gatekeepers of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21:12. And thirdly, the psalmist appears to have been referring to his own particular service, or simply using metaphoric language to draw a contrast, or both. In no way is the passage meant to teach that some will be only mere doorkeepers in God's kingdom. Yet we are told something here about whatever positions God's people occupy in his kingdom. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, Psalm 4:11. Verse 12 assures us that happiness comes through trusting in God. Be assured that he will deliver on his promises. Whatever circumstances prompted the composition of Psalm 84, this song, given its current placement in the Psalter, now voices the devotion to and reliance on God that motivate the remaining prayers of the group it introduces. Note on Psalm 84. And,